thank you choir, because he lives. My name is Pete Perico. I'm a deacon here, and it's my privilege to read the scripture for today. We're doing Matthew 12, 46 to 50. That's on page 889 in your pew Bible, or it's on the boards. Matthew 12, 46 to 50. While he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside waiting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." But to the one who said this, he told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." May God give us understanding of this, his holy word.
Jesus had a family. He had a mother and a father and brothers and sisters. His mother was named Mary. Jesus was her firstborn. His earthly father was named Joseph. He was a carpenter from Nazareth. He had at least four brothers and an unknown number of sisters. His brothers were named James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. We don't know the names of his sisters. That's not unusual. Many women were not named in the Bible. We're not sure what happened to Joseph, the carpenter, his earthly father. After Joseph and Mary took 12-year-old Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem for the Passover, and then back home to Nazareth, Joseph is not mentioned again. We're told that Jesus was obedient to his parents, and that he grew in wisdom and in stature. But what happened to Joseph after that, we cannot say. His mother Mary, on the other hand, appears several more times in the stories about Jesus, along with his brothers. For example, Mary was there at the wedding at Cana when Jesus performed his first sign, turning water into wine. Jesus went with his mother and his brothers after that and his disciples to Capernaum, where they stayed for a few more days. And in our scripture for this morning, Mary and his brothers and perhaps his sisters came to talk with Jesus when he was teaching the crowds. Apparently, there were so many people around that his mother and brothers couldn't get close to Jesus. So they had to send someone to say that your mother and your brothers want to speak with you. We're not sure what they wanted to say to Jesus, but we can guess. In the parallel passage of this story in Mark's gospel, Mark indicates that they were concerned about Jesus' welfare. His mother and his brothers and maybe his sisters were concerned. Jesus was creating such a stir with his teachings and his healings and his exorcisms and his conflicts with the authorities, that they were worried about him. Either they feared for his safety, or they thought that Jesus was going a little too far, getting too carried away in what he was doing. Mark 3 says, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, he has gone out of his mind. Well, if that's the setting for this story, then it means that Mary and his brothers and maybe his sisters came to talk to Jesus to try to pull him back a bit, to rein him in. They were concerned that he was getting a little too carried away with what he was doing. They were afraid that maybe he was putting himself at risk, making people mad. In a sense, I guess the parents never stop worrying about their kids, no matter how old their children may be. If Mary thought that Jesus was engaging in some risky or unwise or excessive behavior, we can see why she would want to intervene. Now, the scripture doesn't say that Mary thought Jesus was crazy, but other people did. What he was saying and what he was doing was so radical, so unconventional, that some people thought he was out of his mind. When Jesus heard that his mother and his brothers and perhaps his sisters were waiting to speak to him, he uttered one of his more unconventional and unexpected comments. You know, Jesus had a way of surprising his listeners by saying things they weren't expecting. And in this case, Jesus said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And then pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here is my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." It's not that Jesus was turning away from his family. We know that Jesus remained very close to his mother and close to his brothers and presumably close to his sisters. As Jesus was dying on the cross, he looked at his mother and he entrusted her to the care of the beloved disciple, presumably the disciple John. It wasn't that Jesus' brothers could not take care of their mother, but he wanted to place her in John's spiritual care. And then after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus into heaven, we're told that his mother and his brothers were there. In fact, Acts says that they were together with the disciples and certain women in Jerusalem, constantly devoting themselves to prayer. They were doing as Jesus had instructed them, to remain together until the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And we're told in Acts that there were about 120 believers, including his mother and his brothers, and probably his sisters. And later, Jesus' brother James would become the leader of the church in Jerusalem. In fact, there's a book in the Bible called the Book of James, which is named after the brother of Jesus. And so from all these passages, it becomes clear that Jesus maintained a strong connection with his family, especially with his mother and his brothers. When Jesus said, "Who is my mother and who is my brother?" he wasn't rejecting his family. He was rather expanding his family to include more than those of his household of origin. And I think that's why this passage is so special for us, because it means that if we believe in Jesus, if we seek to follow him, if we seek to do the will of his Father in heaven, we are a part of his family too. Of course, I'm not speaking literally, but I'm speaking spiritually. We're a part of Jesus' family through our faith in him. And that means that we are connected with one another too. Families were very important in the Bible, and families are very important for us today. Dr. Brené Brown has done a lot of study on families and human relationships. Some of you may have seen her. She's appeared on Oprah, Katie Couric, PBS, the TED seminars. She spent about the past 12 years studying families, studying human relationships, trying to figure out how people get connected with each other. And what she's found is that she studied thousands of different people, thousands of families. She found that they basically fall into two groups. One group of people are those who have a deep sense of love and belonging. And the others are those who struggle to have a sense of love and belonging. And she tried to identify why people have that difference. Why are some so deeply feeling love and belonging and others struggle with that? And she determined that there's a lot of factors that are really not contributing to that. It doesn't necessarily mean that you've had an easy life if you feel that strong sense of love and belonging. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have less problems than other people have. In fact, among those who have that strong sense of love and belonging, they don't necessarily have less bankruptcies or divorces or illnesses. Those who have that deep sense of longing, of love and belonging, don't necessarily have fewer struggles with depression or addiction. But she identified one variable that makes the difference. She said those who have that strong sense of love and belonging have a belief that they are worthy of love and worthy of belonging. And those who struggle with feeling loved and feeling like they belong don't have that belief that they are worthy of love and belonging. Now, I know that sounds almost simplistic, but those who believe they are worthy of being loved and having a place to belong are likely to experience love and belonging more than those who don't feel worthy. In her best-selling book with the cumbersome title, Daring Greatly, How the Courage to be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead. Is that a mouthful or what? Daring Greatly, How the Courage to be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead. Dr. Brené wrote, love and belonging are irreducible needs of all men, women, and children. We are hardwired for connection. It's what gives purpose and meaning to our lives. Brené continued, the absence of love, belonging, and connection always leads to suffering. And in a lecture she gave at a TED seminar, she said, connection is why we are here. Connection is what gives meaning and purpose to our lives. And that's why families are so important, because families are the primary way that we achieve that connection with other people. Now, we all know that just because you're a part of a family doesn't mean that you will feel connected or that you will feel loved or that you feel like you have a place to belong. Sometimes family relationships can be broken and toxic and hurtful. For some people, their family of origin is not the place where their needs for love and belonging were met. Some families are basically dysfunctional. Some families and family members feel that they are not worthy of love and belonging. And some families, frankly, fail at helping people make those connections with others. But the good news is we are not limited to our families of origin. Families are not restricted to the households that we grew up in. They're not restricted to the people that have the same last name. Through our faith in Jesus, we are a part of another family that can meet those needs for connection and love and belonging that we all have. As Dr. Brown said, we are hardwired for connectivity. We were created for relationship, and we were created to be related to God and to be related to our fellow human beings. If we find that love and belonging in our family, wonderful, great, let's celebrate that. Let's make family a priority. But if we don't find love and belonging in our families of origin, we are not doomed to a life of loneliness. Jesus welcomes us into his family. Jesus says, you're my brother, you're my sister, you're my mother, if you seek to do the will of our Father in heaven. And Jesus says that all of us are worthy of love and belonging, whether we feel worthy or not, because Jesus loves us and he gives us a place to belong. Now, I realize this sounds almost too neat and tidy. It sounds almost like, well, if Jesus loves us, then why should we ever feel alone? Well, the thing is, life is lonely at times. There are times when we do feel disconnected. There are times when we do feel like we're not in a good place in our relationships. And I'm not talking just about our marital status or about our family circumstance. But here's the thing. If you believe in Jesus, you have a family. If you seek to follow Jesus, you have a community of faith, a church family that you can belong to. But it requires some effort on your part. Relationships don't just happen automatically. They require us having the courage to be vulnerable and reach out beyond ourselves and extend our love to others, even without the guarantee that we're going to be loved in return. And that's scary. I mean, I don't like to be vulnerable. I'm afraid that if you see who I am, see the true person I am, you won't like what you see and you'll reject me. It's a natural human hesitation we have to show who we are. But as Dr. Brené says, it is having the courage to be vulnerable that can transform the way that we live and parent and love and lead. The courage to reach out beyond ourselves is the courage to believe that we are lovable, that somebody will love us. And we feel that courage when we recognize how much God loves us. And we recognize that Jesus gave himself for us out of his love for us. Now hear this. Jesus loves you just as you are. That doesn't mean he's satisfied with you as you are, but he loves you as you are. Jesus knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows about your weaknesses, your failings. He knows your flaws and imperfections. He knows how you are tarnished and broken and unlovely, and still he loves you. He loves you so much that he died for you. He loves you so much that he lives for you. He loves you so much that he wants you to be members of his family. That's why he calls us his brothers and his sisters. We are all worthy of love and belonging simply because Jesus loves us. And if we are worthy of love and belonging, then we can learn to love each other too. We can join with other brothers and sisters to create a community of love, a family of faith, a place of belonging for any person who places their faith in Jesus. Jesus had a family. He had a mother and an earthly father and brothers and sisters. Jesus has a family. And that includes me. And that includes you. And that includes all who place their faith in him. Welcome home. Our Father, it's amazing to think that you love us even as we are. It's amazing to think that we are worthy of love and belonging simply because you love us. Sometimes we don't feel worthy. Sometimes we feel so out of place. Sometimes we feel so disconnected. Sometimes we even feel disconnected from ourselves. But you, in your love and grace, have called us to relationship with you and to relationship with one another. Give us the courage, O God, to reach out beyond ourselves and to dare to love another in the trust that we will find love as we give you that vulnerability to be ourselves and to love out of who we are. That's what you did on the cross. You became vulnerable to the point of death. And in what Jesus did, we saw most clearly your heart of love. And that love draws us to you. and draws us closer to each other too. Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me. Help me, help us to love him and to love each other too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn. And if there's someone here today who would want to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, to accept the love he has for you, to follow him as a believer in baptism, to profess your faith in him, we give you that opportunity. And maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. You've been baptized and you've been a part of the family of faith for a long time, but you're not a part of this church family. You'd want to unite with us. We would welcome that decision as well. Invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing a closing hymn, number 272, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."